Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Plausible.
Plausibility.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi, I'm Carrie Stars and Stripes Forever Dalby.
And this is Luke Old Glory Sinkowski.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Episode number 40.
40.
We're over the hill.
Whee!
Is that what people say when they go get over the hill?
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to get on a wheelchair and just go down, you know,
All right, then.
So, this is a show, and we're doing it now. So, what's new in your life, Carrie Dalby, who is very American?
Extremely American Carrie, that's me. I had a thingy on Easter where we all went to Enchanted Castle in Lombard, Illinois, which is, you know, Chuck E. Cheese mixed with medieval times, I guess. So we normally have been doing our thing at IHOP for the last three Easters, but this year we did it at Enchanted Castle, and it seemed like a good move because, you know, the food was just kind of eh, you know, it was there, it was edible. But after we're done eating and having, you know, candy, chocolate, eggs, and jelly beans, then, we went over and played some video games for a little while, and then we rounded off the evening with a rousing game of demented mini golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never played mini golf in my entire life, and I think the key of mini golf being fun is to be with fun people. So
there's lots of awesome mini golf places up at the Dells. So if you and Josh ever end up there when it's like sunny out and stuff,
yeah.
You should give that a shot.
There's other things there that we didn't do. Laser tag, which I've never done in my life. And go-karts, which I've also never done in my life. But it's still there, right in my suburb of Lombard, to be done in the future. Perhaps with someone named Bill and or Moonbeam.
If they ever decide to go on a destination of destiny ever again.
Oops, I said the B word. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, we mentioned blasted.
Oh, dear God.
Who, by the way, dressed up in the gigantic Orko costume over the weekend at PenguinCon.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. But more about PenguinCon after the first song. Other things going on in Carrie's life, adventures with the horrible crawl space. That's mostly Josh's story, so it's probably better to let him tell it. But apparently, you know... We have Niagara Falls, you know, coming into our crawl space whenever it rains, and our sump pump and backup sump pump went out, and Josh finally noticed the and I was just like, it's nothing, what are you talking about? It's just like background ambient noise. I mean, and it was actually the alarm for the non-working sump pump in the, you know, crawl space glorified basement, you know. It's like, you know, it's pretty big for a crawl space, I think. I don't know. I've never seen a crawl space before, but it's smaller than a basement. And so we got a new main sump pump, and they installed it to point out of the front of the house like a, you know, penis at half mast. and it just, like, spouts, like, you know, floods, gushes water, like, out of our... I'm like, where is all this water coming from? Yeah, at one point we had at least, you know, an inch and a half of water covering the entire crawl space / basement floor. And it was probably up to 4 inches at least at one point. And we have no idea how long it was down there. And, you know, Josh spent many an hour, you know, manually pumping it out with this, not manually, but like with this pump and a garden hose into the backyard thing. So that's a thing. That's more of an adventure for Josh to tell. I didn't call Josh Luke at some point just now, did I?
I don't think so.
Well, if I did, I was mistaken. LambaCon. Yes, this past weekend, impromptu get-together with me, Josh, Ken, and Sarah Trice. some of those of us, but not all of those of us, who were left behind from PanguCon that would have liked to be there. So we had LambaCon. We had an enjoyable meal at Sweet Tomatoes in Lombard. And we were going to go to a movie, but Josh was on call and all this crazy-ass shit was going on with his job, as it did all weekend. So rather than take a risk on a movie, we just walked around the mall. And I spent too much on t-shirts at Hot Topic. And I checked in. I hadn't been to a mall since I joined Foursquare, so I probably got more than my fair share of points that day on Foursquare.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's about it. We took the cats to the vet, and one of them got microchipped. The other one already had a microchip, so I just had to register it.
That's cool.
So, what's new in your life, Luke? And I've already heard some of this on the Fumpcast.
Yeah, so went to the Pollen Storm Joko show with Sarah. That was neat. I got to use the little square credit card reader device, which is an awesome app for my phone, which allows me to take credit cards, which gets deposited into my bank account.
We should probably poll our readers to see if we have any listeners that don't listen to the Funny Music Podcast.
There's
certain redundancies.
So if you listen to Bad Rapport but don't listen to the Funny Music Podcast, let us know.
Yes.
And you can do that in comments, and we'll get into that later. But yeah, basically it's basically this nifty revolutionary new way that I can take credit cards both at my live shows for music and at my caricature stand. So
yes, sounds really nifty.
Unfortunately, nobody used a credit card to buy stuff for me over this weekend, so I never got to use it. But apparently Devo Spice and Possible Oscar already signed up for it, and Possible Oscar used it over the weekend. So
nice.
So yeah, it's super awesome that I have that. We took Snowshoe to the vet a couple of times, and one of which was to get her teeth cleaned and to get his teeth cleaned and some of his teeth removed. They brought it out and stuff. And when we first brought him home, he was kind of all, you know, loopy, doped up kitty. So he was like actually being like super cuddly and stuff like that.
Aww.
But generally the cat has been, friendlier and a little more warm, you know, to come up and want attention and cuddles and stuff. So. Yes. So hopefully
he has a very high pitched meow.
Yeah. So basically, I hope this means that, you know, if maybe the teeth were, you know, just making her mouth ache all the time, and or his mouth ache all the time. Maybe that's why he was always kind of so grumpy and standoffish. And maybe now that that's taken care of, Snowshoe will be a little friendlier and cuddlier with me. So.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Easter, and my sister had tricked me into playing the Easter Bunny by asking me to do it, and me saying yes, because whenever...
That trickster.
Whenever someone in my life, and particularly a woman in my life, asks me to do things, especially if they pay me money for those things, I pretty much do them without thinking, or say that I'll do them without thinking, and then I tried to back out of it, but she couldn't find anybody else to replace me.
In theory, on your iPod right now, you're looking at a picture of Luke playing the Easter Bunny.
Yes, and I'll also put a link to the page where you can actually see some more shots of me in the full bunny outfit.
Ooh, yeah, I gotta check that out.
Which one of the head honchos of Geneva National was just there taking pictures and stuff, and he gave me some really nice compliments, because, like, you know, when he first encountered me, I just kind of, like, immediately stopped and did an awesome pose, and he took some picture, and after like the third picture of me, he's like, wow, this year's Easter Bunny's really got personality. You know, And you know, apparently there's already been like a flood of compliments on my work, and they're like, oh, well, we have to have him back next year. It's like, I hope you'll pay me more money next year. You know, $100 for 3 or 4 hours of that. And it was exhausting. It was way more tiring than I thought it would, yeah. would possibly be. I was literally sweating.
Well, yeah, I've worn a... The only time I've ever worn a full-size costume like that is when I worked at KB Toys. And mm-hmm. I think maybe only once, I put on the big KB toy costume where you stand, and it's like the little toy soldier guy.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty horrible. And then every now and then I'd take the head off so I could breathe, and then they're like, you're not supposed to do that, it freaks the kids out. You know.
Well, if you work at Disney World, if your head comes off while, you know, you're out in public view, whether it was an accident or your fault or not, you immediately get fired.
Wow.
That's what I've heard for years, is that, you know...
I did not know that. That's pretty hardcore.
I once heard a story, I don't know which character they were dressed as, but one of them kind of, like, somehow accidentally tripped and fell into, you know, one of, like, the watery, fountainy kind of things. So the head started filling up with water.
Uh-huh.
And so the person took the head off so they wouldn't drown, and they fired him.
They fired him for not him allowing himself to yeah. be murdered.
So, yeah.
I guess given the choice between being fired and being killed, I'd probably choose yeah. being fired, too.
So, I don't know. On the off chance Jeff Smith is listening, he can tell me if any of those stories are true. Because he worked in attractions at Disneyland doing, you know, yeah. managing those people. So, yeah. So then after that, went to my mom's house for Easter. We had a dinner and hung out. My aunt, my uncle and aunt were there and stuff. And, you know, that makes my mom very happy. And then after that, I cruised up and met up with everybody at the Easter festivities at Enchanted Castle.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you made it, because it got a lot wackier after you showed up.
Yes. And
you bring the wackiness factor up.
Thank you.
Whenever you go places.
And I ate two slices of pizza, and I like kind of just folded them together into like yes. one big slice.
It was
and
like
ate
a pizza sandwich.
I was like, well, we're in a hurry. I'm going to eat both these pieces anyway. I might as well do it in a faster way because we got to go play games.
And I played some DDR and. Was doing pretty good in the easy mode, so I switched to medium mode and failed quickly and miserably.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's more stuff to talk about, but we'll save that for a little bit later.
Well, you lost something over the last few
days. Oh, yeah, I guess we could talk about that now. On April 4th, I started dieting in the sense of keeping track of my points on the daily plate.
Calories.
And yeah, calories. Well, yeah. Keeping track of calories and trying to stay under a certain amount. And on Thursday, which was the morning before I left to drive out to PenguinCon. Excuse me.
We need to caffeinate this guy.
Yeah, I have had much less caffeine of late. But So, I weighed myself, it was, you know, 24 days into doing this, and according to the scale, I had lost 9 pounds. So, I'm very happy with that result, and I intend to continue using the daily plate. I adjusted my calorie number to, you know, reflect my new weight at that point, and I'm probably going to be checking myself, you know, my weight again every week on Friday and adjusting as it goes along so that I can hopefully continue to lose weight. So I'm really happy that
Yay.
that me putting an effort into doing it resulted in a result.
Told you I was Stars and Stripes Dalby.
So yeah. So speaking of America, we should go into our first song, which if you've been following the news at all, you probably know why we're choosing to play this song.
Well, we can talk about that now. We can
okay.
push that bullet point up.
All right.
Yeah, so as Americans, I think we're contractually obligated to mention the fact that Osama bin Laden is dead.
Yep.
And I don't think either Luke or I, have any really strong feelings or opinions or anything interesting to say. But Osama bin Laden's dead, and we heard about it.
I was watching on my TiVo with Sarah recorded episodes of Extreme Makeover Home Edition when I got a text from you that just said the president's going to talk to the country at 9:45 p.m. And I don't know how long it was, like.
Yeah, and
I'm like, oh, I guess I better stop this and put on. And
a text from Ken initially. That's how I knew that something was happening.
So I hit the live TV button, and it goes to ABC, and it's like Osama bin Laden dead. I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So we basically backtracked about a half hour to see what other info there was, and basically it was just the news guys regurgitating the same information as they waited for the president, and then the president eventually came on and talked, and he said, damn, it feels good to be a gangsta, peace, we out, and then walked out, because he's, you know, a badass motherfucker.
So, should we call another American and...
Sure, why not?
Get his opinion on the matter?
Because we're goddamn Americans. We don't have no big fruity-ass weddings.
Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken, ding!
So...
Here, you hold it so that you do it right.
Okay.
Hopefully he's going to answer.
I hope he answers.
Hello?
Hi! Is Ken there?
Yeah.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
Every once in a while, we call you
Ken.
Ken.
Ding.
Hi.
Ding. You're an American, Ken. How does it feel to be an American?
I don't know. It feels okay to be American. I can think of worse things I can be right now.
Like what?
I don't know.
Buried at sea.
under a whole bunch of water. Under a whole bunch of water
Yeah, Luke mentioned the reason he knew something was going on Sunday night was because I texted him, and I mentioned the reason I knew something was going on Sunday night was because you texted me.
Yeah, well, actually, the reason I knew something was going on because I was on Facebook and I saw a bunch of posts saying Obama's going to say something, and I mean,
Yeah,
Obama's going to say something, and then actually, it was Graham from Foreign Soldiers who was the first one who mentioned, yeah, I bet she got bin Laden.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that post.
Well, that was actually something, he actually commented on somebody.
Oh. Well, good guess, Grant.
Yeah. Well, Grant, I mean, well, it's the most logical thing.
Yeah. I of course, you know, being the wonderfully optimistic person that I am, thought that, you know, a missile was probably headed our way from North Korea or something to that effect.
Yeah, I was thinking of something possibly. Well, I was thinking it could be, like, maybe some war is being declared or something like that, and I realized we're in the 21st century. They don't declare war, they just randomly attack. People just randomly attack.
Yep. Well, anything else you want to mention on the show before we get going?
On the show, no, not really. I got to talk to Luke off here about Thursday, but we can do that.
Yeah.
I just want to remind him about Thursday, because what's happening that day doesn't belong on Bad Report. That would really be Bad Report.
Well,
you want to make it real bad.
Enjoy your Last Supper. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, actually, it was actually White Castle, so at least I won't have to worry about getting some extra help.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it'll take care of itself tomorrow. But anyway, okay, take care.
All right, bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
And in case you're wondering, yes, I know what he was talking about, even though the listeners hopefully didn't.
I'm not even sure what you were talking about. But...
You should know. You're involved.
I just think pretending to be confused is more fun.
Well, Ken likes confusing people. I mean, Ken will freely admit he likes confusing people.
Merca!
Merca!
So let's go to our first song right now.
America!
welcome to the podcast.
See? Told you about that wackiness level.
Yep.
Oh, we were supposed to turn lovely levels down.
Well, I can do that right now.
The lovely level song. Okay. It's not very long. Okay.
There are other melodies that exist, you know.
I hardly ever use that one. That's Josh's thing where he always uses that.
Anyway, PenguinCon. Drove out there Thursday night, went to see Mr. Frontalot. He did an awesome show.
Also known as MC Frontalot.
MC Frontalot. There was indeed fronting. So me and Ian are sitting there. And
is he going to Nerdapalooza?
MC Frontalot?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. They haven't announced him, but it wouldn't surprise me if he were.
Okay.
So me and Ian were watching the show. We met a couple of dudes who were young and in their 20s, seemingly, who were, like, super psyched to be seeing MC Frontalot. They had come from somewhere else in Michigan, and apparently they did some nerdcore rappings of their own, and we were, you know, trying to tell them about, you know, the Fump and the Fump Sideshow and stuff like that. So, you know, if they ever decide to...
There you go again.
...post anything, you know, hopefully we'll hear from them again. But, it's interesting because this is the first time I've seen MC Frontalot perform with just him and the background music. He didn't have anybody from his band with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just him on stage by himself. And he did about a 45-minute show, mm-hmm. I think it was. So, but yeah, it was nifty and fun. And
are you on first-name terms with him?
Yeah. I mean, you know, his first name is Damien.
Yeah.
And I've hung out with him enough to be like, you know, hey, Damien, what's up? You know, he's... always been really cool with me.
Damien is a cool name.
So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, Ian had this idea. So, he has this song called, I think it's called This Old Man. But the chorus is kind of like, it's basically about him, you know, getting older, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, this old man, he played once. He did blah, 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 blah with a knick-knack, paddywhack, blah, 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 blah. So it's like, so Ian had this idea. So when, like, so there's like a 4-measure gap between the end of the chorus and the beginning of the next verse. So when he got to that point, he and I just started going together. Damn, it sucks to get old. Damn, it sucks to get old.
We could play that song. Since we didn't fill in all the song blanks on our thingy.
I'll make a note of that. So that song might get played. This old man. Okay. So after that, I kind of asked around, is there anything else nifty happening? And people said, not really. Because the con hadn't officially started, so there wasn't even like a con suite to hang out in. And since I had received my background music for my new song... I wanted to finish writing it so I could perform it at my show on Saturday night. So I figured I'm going to go over to the Motel 6, which is super cheap, and get a room there and then go find a restaurant to sit down at and just finish writing this song. Because I was about a third of the way through it
mm-hmm.
at that point. So that's what I did. Went to a steak.
So where were you going to sleep before you got a room there?
I was going to see if crashing in someone else's room was a possibility. And if that didn't work, I knew that the Motel 6 would be there as my backup. So, you know.
Just checking.
Yeah. So, you know, because, you know, I am cheap enough that if there's, you know, a free room available, I'll take it. But in this case, my mind just kept saying, you know what, it's for the best if you just get your own room so that you can go somewhere and be alone and finish writing this song.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only did I want to premiere it on Saturday, is that I was supposed to post it at the Fump today. So one way or another, that song had to get written, and this was the best use of my free time since I wouldn't be missing anything nifty at the con since mm-hmm. there was nothing there to miss. So that's what I did. That was, you know, I learned, you know, in my, you know, calorie counting adventures that a Frisco melt at Steak and Shake has like lots and lots and lots of points or lots of calories. So, you know, it's kind of like, I kind of also told myself I wasn't going to beat myself up too much about, you know, going over my calorie goals, you know, because it's a con, and sometimes at cons, I'll get more into this later, but basically when you're in a convention situation, sometimes you just got to eat, and, you know, when you have the chance, and, you know, for me to sit there and get all concerned about things would be counterproductive. Because I would rather be spending time working writing a song than sitting here trying to figure out what the possible lowest calorie option on.
So you had the Frisco melt, is what you're saying?
Yeah. it'll tie into a later point. Anyway, okay. So went to bed, got up, once again, because when I'm at a convention, my body knows it, so it wakes me up early for no reason. So I got up at like 9 a.m. and then discovered that there was a Kinko's within walking distance, about a half mile away, so I decided to walk over to the Kinko's and just leave my car and my stuff in the hotel room, since I knew it wasn't going to take that long. Walk over to the Kinko's.
That way you get in some exercise.
Exactly. So walk over to the Kinko's, typed up the lyrics, checked some other internet stuff, and then went back to the hotel, checked out, headed over to the con, and basically got there super early too, with a lunch from Subway, and just kind of sat around waiting for people to start arriving. So eventually people did, and checked into my hotel room, which I was sharing with Insane Ian and Christmas Alesta. I missed the first couple of acts that were in the in the music room. In fact, at one point, Ian and I, this is the point I was going to make. When you're at cons, especially if you're a performer or you're working there, if with the way eating goes, if you have a window of opportunity to get food, to get a proper meal in, you just have to kind of take it whenever it pops up. There's only so much planning you can do, but sometimes it's like, well, I can either eat right now or I cannot eat until it's, 2 a.m. and all there is to do is to, eat whatever's in the con suite or go in search of like a 24-hour big boy. So it's like, screw it, I'm going to eat now so that I have eaten today at least one decent meal.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is a common recurring thing at pretty much every con I go to, is that situation happens, typically once a day, unless there's some super planning involved or there's already like a con banquet happening or whatever.
Yeah.
So on Friday, it was like me and Ian are like, okay, window of opportunity, we have a chance to get some food. And looking at the local options, I was like, oh, there's a Hooters nearby. I like hot wings. Let's go there. So we went there.
Hot wings are huge in calories.
Well, yeah, and I didn't realize that was the case until...
You're way better off if you get the boneless ones.
Well, yeah. When I got there, it turns out it was like one of their wing special days where it was only like 50 cents a wing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. And once again, at cons, I'll often do this where it's like I'll intentionally order more so I have stuff to take back to the room so I have something to eat later in that day.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, 50 cent wings? All right, just give me like 20 wings. That's cool. And I'm used to thinking of wings as like these little teeny tiny things.
Mm-hmm.
They bring me this plate of these huge freaking wings.
Hooters
and I'm
wings
like,
are twice as big as other wings.
So,
because
so,
we're Americans and we go to Hooters.
Yeah, doo-doo. So we also got an order of the deep-fried pickle chips, which surprisingly are not as calorie laden as I thought they would be, but
well, because the pickles themselves don't have any calories, so it's better than getting French fries.
Yeah. So, I had some of those, and then we got back, and unfortunately, we missed. We walked in while Durwood was performing his last song, and I felt bad about that because I did want to try to get there, but once again, it's just the way it goes at cons. Last year, I know me and Sarah missed Max DeGroote's set, we saw at least part of it, but we had to kind of, it's like, well, this is our chance, we better go, so we had to leave Max's set early, so.
Well, there was a lot of programming at PangoCon this year.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, like, put
Not
up
that
against
I was there,
each other.
As you guys know, I wasn't there.
But, we saw 19 Action News.
I probably should have mentioned my choir concert at some point. I'll mention that later.
Okay. And, actually, let me look at the thingy. Excuse me just a moment, folks. Here it is. Okay. Yeah, so Misha Stone performed, which was an interesting act, because it was like a guy and a girl. They had like a projection screen showing these weird images and doing weird songs and putting images up with the songs that, like, didn't necessarily have anything to do with anything. So, in fact, Insane Ian, because I know you're listening, call in and leave a voice comment describing the act by Misha Stone. And, in fact, Misha Stone was just the name of the one of the two people involved. They had a different name for the act itself. So help fill that void, Ian, and because it was something that I think Carrie would find interesting to know about, but I'm fuzzy on the details, and you had a really good way to describe it. But yeah, 19 Action News performed. They asked that all of the lights in the room be turned off because they had these like nifty rock and roll light boxes they had made at the front. Mm-hmm. But it still was basically the entire room was dark for their entire show.
Yeah.
But they were jamming on it.
I've never seen them. I know I've been at cons they were at, but I never.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because last year you weren't there yet when they performed at PenguinCon.
And then they were on Con on the Cob, but I think it was like another dinner situation kind of thing.
And then a toy boat hit the stage, and they did their usual toy boat thing, and they were a lot of fun and rocking. And then Friday night, like the old man I am, I went back to my room with the intention of, oh, well, I'll just hang out here for a minute and then go up to the party floors. And instead, I just stayed in the room. And not too long after that, Ian and Chris appeared, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're kind of done for the night. The room party scene was lame on Friday night, apparently.
Yeah, I've done that.
Plus, I was also fascinated.
It's not just necessarily an old thing.
I was fascinated by the notion of sitting in a bed and watching a television at the same time, because I haven't done that in so long. Because
Sarah doesn't like that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Because she's a normal human being.
So, Saturday, MarsCon has the whole dementia table. There is a table similar to that at PenguinCon in their dealer room. Unfortunately, they only have one person running it, and that is Diane. I know that Jay Kitty washed the table at certain points, but Diane basically had no backup at all for the table.
Wow.
And she had her own personal life things going on. So I volunteered to show up and open up the music track merch table on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and then we found out she wasn't going to get there until like 12:30, so I had to completely miss the Power Salad show. But since Dr. Don was Ustreaming it, I was able to catch intermittent glimpses of the show.
Yeah, I caught a possible Oscar in intermittent glimpses as well.
So, and I think he has all these streams up for viewing on YouTube now and stuff, so go check out the Dr. Don on YouTube.
But even he said, you know, he was really disappointed in the quality of that stream.
Yeah.
So we don't have to, like, dance around that topic.
Yeah, so from what I heard, the Power Salad set was good. I think he was just winging it and taking requests and stuff, so I know he did Katie's Dream, and I know he did some Luke Ski moments.
I don't know. I think they should be renamed to Chris Mezzalesta Moments, because he promotes himself more than you do.
Well, on Twitter, he's a maniac.
For his voice acting
stuff.
He's
a freaking maniac.
Yeah.
And then I think me, Ian, and Chris made a quick Chipotle lunch run, got back in time to catch... Well, Tom Smith had his concert at the same time MC Frontalot was doing a Q&A. Mm-hmm. So I spent the first half of that hour at the Frontalot Q&A and the second half at Tom's concert. And the room is way too...
Way small-ish.
Yeah. Frontalot had a good room for his thing, about the appropriate size. Devo Spice was there watching it.
So Tom Smith was just in the tiny music room?
Yeah, Tom Smith was just in the tiny music room.
At a Michigan con?
there was some weird confusion
this
about...
This isn't a criticism, it's just like, you know...
There was some confusion about whether or not Tom Smith was supposed to be the Judging Time Entertainment of the Masquerade.
Yeah,
so
I caught that on the Funny Music podcast.
He ended up doing some of that, so he did get to perform in the big room at some point during the weekend. But there was apparently another weird act, comedy act of some kind. I don't even think they were musically inclined, of some kind of Blues Brothers meets Boy Scouts. I don't know what the hell it was these two guys performed. I didn't see any of it. So Anyway, so yeah, Tom Smith had a super packed room. In fact, there were people who, they basically had to turn people away from the room during Tom's show because there was no more room in the room to be had, so.
Fire hazard.
So you know, the possible Oscar guys were just hanging out with, like, Ian and Chris in the hallway just chatting because it's like, well, there's no room in there for us to watch Tom's show, so.
Yeah.
Then Frank Hayes performed, I hung out for his show, and it's the first time I've sat through an entire Frank Hayes concert, and he has, you know, some funny stuff, but the biggest revelation from that is realizing that, you know, Frank Hayes, it's kind of like, there's a difference between knowing the facts and then experiencing something that makes you realize the full clarity of those facts. So being in the room and listening to Frank Hayes perform made me realize this is where Tom Smith got his mannerisms from.
Yeah.
You know, because he was so Tom Smith-like. You know, but it's really not that. It's more like Tom Smith. It's Frank Hayes like.
Right.
So that was an interesting, you know, show to be in the room for. Then Possible Oscar were on at 5. I actually got to help them out on a couple of songs. They had me do kind of the hype man pickup lines during Scrollin', and then they gave me their phone that they loaded the Wilhelm Scream app onto it so that if you hit the button, it goes
yeah.
So that I could hold that up to the mic and do the proper thing at the proper time.
Yeah.
So they did an awesome acoustic set.
They were seated. I know that because I caught them in intermittent glimpses.
Yes. And then there was a panel on podcasting hosted by a man named Daniel Hogan, which was not listed in the program book. So there were 5 panelists and like maybe 3 to 4 people in the audience for it. But it was still an interesting and fun podcast. So
podcasting panel, you mean? Or did you actually
record podcasting it? Panel. Well, the ironic thing is the guy running it had a recorder, and he kind of said after the fact he wished he would have been recording it because he thought it was we did such a great thing. So it was me and Devo Spice and Jared and Nathan of PosterCast, and then this other dude who has a podcast. I forgot what it was called, Ginger and the Geek or something. I have a business card for it somewhere. So that was nifty. Then Silent Nightmare, Tara Doohan's metal band, performed on the main stage, which was cool.
Yeah, I really wanted to be there. Did they get a decent audience?
They had a decent audience, and well, one of the things was they had somehow screwed up the schedule to say that I was supposed to perform at 7 p.m., which was not the case. I was supposed to perform at 8 p.m., and so I put all my flyers up saying 8 p.m., and I even put a sign on the door that said, Luke Ski, 8 p.m., so, because people started showing up at 7 waiting for my show, and I'm just thinking, dude, have you not seen any of the flyers? I was the first person to put flyers up at the con all weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was plenty of advertising, but anyway. So, I didn't want my audience to have to choose between coming to my show or going to her show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a bunch of us went to see Silent Nampa perform. And I remember me and Ian were standing there, and Chris and Celeste walks in. He walks up to us and goes, is that Tara? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I had no idea she could sing like that. I'm like, she's awesome. So,
yeah.
So I hung out for like 3 songs. Then I had to go set up for my show. Actually, Devo Spice set up his stuff first so that I could just, you know, so we could have a quicker transition between the 2 sets.
Uh-huh.
So I did my set, and I thought it went really well. I had a great time. I'm particularly proud of myself for having gotten through Sheldon's Delight and Blues Campbell, like, completely memorized without screwing it up. So
nice.
That's kind of an epic win for me. And I got, I performed my new Fump song, which, the aforementioned one I finished writing on Thursday night. I had Ian help me with accompanying chorus vocals because I didn't have time to record any because the song wasn't done at the time when I left. So I found out later from Ian that apparently while I was performing that song, Damien, you know, MC Frontalot, stuck his head in the room and kind of checked out the show for, you know, a minute or two.
Nice.
So I'm thinking to myself, well, that's awesome that he showed an interest, but damn it, he showed up for the one least rehearsed, least prepared, you know. It's like everything else, it's like, yeah, I got everything memorized. I'm slick. I'm rocking. And then here's this thing. It's like, okay, this is the 3rd time I've sung this song out loud. Here we go. You know.
Yeah.
Well, that was another note. Me and Ian managed to sneak off to rehearse, but Chris was taking a nap in our room, so we snuck over to the weight room, and we rehearsed in the weight room because nobody was in there. So, but yeah, my show went well. It was a fun set. Yeah, and then we went into Devo Spice's set, and I got up for do a couple songs during his set, and it was during the Geeks Come Out at Night when I was performing with Devo that I just kind of had this little private moment in my own head thinking to myself about how much I enjoy doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this whole kind of thing. It's like we all get together and, you know, we have a whole day of fun concerts with each other, with our friends, doing comedy music, goofing around. It's just such an awesome thing. And I was just kind of just reveling in that moment about how much I enjoy it and how much it means to me.
Yeah.
So, you
and
know.
And how you're going to do it forever and ever for the rest of your life.
I would like to.
And you should.
Or I would like to, or I would like to be doing other cool, just as satisfying things that might be slightly different. So, you know, but yeah, it's, you know, it's the reason why I wanted to make something like MarsCon a reality, you know, because I wanted there to be a venue where we could be all we can be, you mm-hmm. know, without people saying, we don't like it when you make noise, you know, or whatever. So. Yeah. You know, and we got PenguinCon, we got Con of the Cob, and we got MarsCon, you know, with the funny music support system. So, you know, Devo did a great set. Then Ian went on. Ian also did a great set. I did talk with him after the show. We had a little discussion saying, there was maybe one or two rough points in his show, specific songs, you know, and I gave him my honest critique and, you know, but overall, he did a great set. He's and I joined him for cosplaying fangirls. Had it memorized, thank God. Oops. And I joined him for my part in the epic video game medley with the Mario Kart bit. So that was cool. And then after that, Ian and I ducked in for a little while to something called Cinematic for the People, which is a fan-made version of Cinematic Titanic, and what they were doing was watching, the way the guy described it was, apparently back in 1983, there was like some kind of weird embargo between Japan and, what was the other country involved?
Not America.
It was another one of the Asian countries. Hong Kong? Something. Anyway, so it was like this artist, this cartoon producer from the country that isn't Japan, said like, well, as long as there's this embargo up, I can steal all the ideas I want from Japan, and nobody's ever going to call me on it because we don't get any of that product here.
I think we have our episode title, "The Country That Isn't Japan."
Maybe. But so he came out with a show called Space Transformer. And it was like this really weird, bizarre, you know, anime-looking mishmash of, like, robots and humans. And it was just, like, stupid and insane and crappy-looking. So, basically, their plan was to show that and to riff on it live. I don't think they had things, like, uber-scripted. I mean, they definitely had a plan in place. But their plan was kind of screwed up by the fact that the people who were in the room just before them kind of walked out with the speakers and the video to audio cables because apparently they stole them to use over at, like, you know, some kind of Rock Band Guitar Hero thing. So they showed up to do their presentation and they didn't have a way to hook the computer up to the projector or speakers so people could hear the, you know, the soundtrack of the dubbed thing they were trying to watch.
Yeah.
So before too long, they managed to get the right audio-video cord, but they still didn't have the sound. So they started anyway and just turned the volume up on the laptop all the way so that you could barely hear what the sound was, but they were kind of filling us in on what all the stupid plot points were that made no sense and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and people in the audience, I wasn't sure if it was a situation where we were allowed to riff too or if it was just supposed to be them.
Yeah.
But since other people started to riff, well, I'll throw out some riffs here and there. And,
yeah,
you know, it was fun. And after about a half hour or so, Ian and I decided to take off just because we wanted to, you know, get some food and us in the con suite and see where our friends were.
Yeah.
So, if you're out there listening, please keep me posted on future things that you do, and hopefully next time you won't get screwed out of your equipment so you can do a better presentation. But it seemed like it was a nifty fun thing. So, And then Saturday night was just basically hanging out in the con suite, eating snacks, you know, checking out the room parties and stuff. Apparently, well, there was a big group dressed as Romans, a big group dressed as Vikings. Bill was one of the Vikings, and there at one point it they came to a standoff, and they had like a Vikings versus Romans dance off. and I'm pretty sure there's video of it on YouTube, so go look for that. Sunday there wasn't much happening because there was no like real music in the music room. There was a podcasting panel of some kind that I wasn't involved with. I just went to the music table and hung out with Diane and watched the merch and tried to, you know, get sales for people. Sales were definitely down this year, and, you know, that sucks. It's,
did you sell any of the best ofs?
Not a fucking one.
Wow.
So, but my sales were pretty, well, then again, I don't know. I guess I'll have to count, but if I sold one at all, if I sold any at all, it only would have been like one.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I didn't sell any, so... You know, and I even talked about that on that podcasting panel I was on Saturday afternoon with them, because the subject of how do you monetize a podcast came up. I'm like, well, I can tell you one way that didn't exactly work.
Yeah, we haven't even made back the money it cost to make those yet.
Yeah, so, but yeah, hung around on Sunday until dealer's room closed, and then packed up and drove on home. So was sad to see it end, but it was great to see a whole lot of friends and hang out with them, and yeah. Oh, and another tiny note is that Bill said that he was going to go to the jacuzzi at 2 a.m. like they usually do.
Yeah.
So I went, since my room happened to be right by where the jacuzzi was, I went there at 2 a.m. and waited about 20 minutes, and he never showed up. So I just kind of went like, all right, I think I'm just going to go to bed then.
Yeah. He probably showed up late.
Actually, I think he never showed up at all.
Oh.
But anyway, so PenguinCon, it is a lot of fun. There's a lot of great music there, a lot of great people. And, of course, it's a Linux convention, so if you're into that kind of super nerdy, computery stuff, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, ironically, Linux is what kept Josh from going to PenguinCon.
Yeah.
For me, it was Mozart, which doesn't even rhyme with Linux. But, you know, I love the Mozart's Requiem choral piece, so... that's what I was doing on Good Friday, as well as on Sunday, May 1st in the afternoon. It was my first opportunity, other than the, you know, portions we did in with a string quartet last year's Good Friday. It was my first opportunity to do, you know, a full performance of the Mozart's Requiem in like over a decade. So it was... There was no way I was going to miss it. Next year they're doing Carmina Burana, which I've already done, and it's enjoyable, but, you know, if it's the same weekend as PenguinCon next year, I'll probably just go to PenguinCon. Just as long as PenguinCon doesn't conflict with the musical next year, then we'll be all good. Let's play Serenity.
Yes, that is the title of my new Fump song. It is about the movie Serenity. It's a parody of The Remedy, I Won't Worry, by Jason Mraz, both of which are from 2005. So I hope you like it. If you do, please go leave me a comment for it at thefump.com. So here it is, right now. Shiny.
This landing is going to get pretty interesting.
Define interest.
Oh God, we're all going to die?
This is the captain. We have a little problem with our entry sequence, so we may experience some slight turbulence and then explode.
Driving a firefly, such a hassle. Getting yelled at my mouth, he's the king of the castle. Meanwhile, Jane wants to chuck his grenades from the store, and when he runs out, he'll have to buy more. Let's be bad guys, do some feverish sense, and eat a zebra. The poor river is naive, or psychic powers felt the reaver, so we leave there with our cash bounty. Thanks to River and Simon, who hide on Serenity. Serenity is where they gotta live. They're on the lam like drifter orphans. Meanwhile, the enemy is called the operative, and he's been to the desert. No remorse and no name, a horse opera that's played across the stars. Should have paid off the twins and then rolled out till River doled out bruises and scars. When she goes cuckoo for fruity odie bars.
I swallowed a bug and ate it, is what River said, but now I'm afraid I.
nethers weren't run on batteries.
Oh, God. I can't know that.
I could stand to hear a little more.
Mr. Universe talking on the radio says the whole damn verse is a reality show. Uncovering the numbers in the air that made her flip. Jane and Mal started to argue about who will run the Goran ship. Well, he can't marry, he done anagram. Wearing Nara that V, she is a piece. Always cannot phase OP, bomb and flee. They escape from that dollhouse onto Serenity, Serenity. Name for a battle loss. It's got a crew of unsung saviors. Op says that River Tam is just an albatross. And no, you don't get any wafers with it. The mystery that River's Head contains is answered by passing by Reavers, which is the biggest fear of James, because all they want to do is eat your brain.
What a pony and a plastic rocket. Buddha, please. I aim to misbehave, so suck it. Shepherd book, I believe.
A whole planet laid down and said their goodnights. Nobody even read them their Miranda rights. So we brought out a war. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar. Crash land Serenity. When we saw River dance, it was a graceful fight to watch. Through Joss Whedon made the flick, he got a second chance, and then, oh my God, he killed Watch, you bastard!
The operative saw world without sin, after Captain hammered his face in, set off for space with all of his friends, and we finally got some closure in the end. I am a leaf on the wind, watch how I soar! One more, they want more, I want more.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world. And submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent. Cause it makes it so to me.
Chicago police have a real head-scratching case on their hands as they try to root out who stole human hair from a beauty supply company. Police say the theft of what they consider a very valuable amount of hair was taken early Sunday by burglars of the Beauty One shop. Authorities say the culprits pried open a huge steel door that had been secured with two deadbolt locks, then swiped the hair. No dollar amount for the hair was given, and there was no immediate explanation why thieves would want it. A police sergeant says he's been to a lot of robberies, but never one involving hair. It looks like this is a case of hair today, gone tomorrow. Ha ha! Get it? 'Cause it's hair?
This story was submitted by Elizabeth Carnes. Lawyer sues strip club for letting him party too hard. Mark S. Gold made world headlines when he filed an ill-advised lawsuit against a downtown Miami 24-hour strip joint Gold Rush, claiming it took advantage of his extreme drunkenness by charging him more than $18,000. In a suit filed April 20th, Gold says he was served so many drinks and he was, quote, rendered intoxicated and had a complete loss of judgment and rational thought. Next, he will sue McDonald's for serving him food and the Miami Zoo for putting him in the proximity of dangerous animals.
In Cheney, Washington, a man has been cleared of a theft charge after a bemused jury in Washington State found him not guilty of stealing a 99-cent hot dog. John Richardson got the sausage from the self-serve counter of a grocery store in December. He ate it while he shopped but forgot to include it when he paid for his groceries. Store managers confronted Richardson and called police. It took jurors about 5 minutes to reach their verdict in the February trial. Juror Patrick Reeves tells the Spokesman Review someone would, quote, have to be an idiot, unquote, not to realize Richardson simply forgot to pay. Prosecutor Julie McKay didn't buy that. She says Richardson refused to deal to pay a $200 civil penalty and to have the charge dropped. Store officials declined to comment, though it's clear in this case that Richardson ended up the wiener.
Your puns suck.
You think you can do better?
A New Jersey town has adopted an ordinance that regulates when chickens and roosters can hook up in backyard henhouses. Hopewell Township residents can have up to a half dozen hens on half-acre lots. Roosters, however, would only be allowed 10 days a year for fertilization purposes. Mature roosters are not allowed at all because they're too noisy. Any roosters that crow too long can be banned from the property for 2 years. Mayor Jim Bird told the Times of Trenton the ordinance is a compromise between today's lifestyle and the township's agricultural history. Man, talk about a cock block.
Well played.
And finally, authorities say a crash on the Ohio Turnpike near Toledo spilled hundreds of boxes of breakfast cereal. The accident in the Toledo area shut down the toll highway's eastbound traffic for nearly 3 hours. Bulldozers cleared away the mess, though we don't know if it took more than two scoops. State troopers told reporters the driver of the tractor-trailer hauling the cereal may have fallen asleep at the wheel before his truck hit a guardrail around 2 a.m. and wound up on its side across both eastbound lanes.
Hey, I was driving that truck and I'm here to tell my side of the story. Well, I just got done cashing my paychecks, and then my boss Chris gave me my route because Chris picks which way I'm gonna go. On my way out, I asked the receptionist on a date, but honey smacks me across the face. So I climbed into my truck and headed on down the road when suddenly it kicks into high gear, felt like there was a quake, and did a fruit loop across the highway, and then kaboom! When my body was thrown from the wreckage, I heard a snap, crackle, and pop, and then I heard my banana nut crunch. I felt cocoa pebbles scrape across my face, and I swear I saw my life pass before my eyes. I thought I was gonna go burn to a crisp and then out in a puff of smoke. Good thing I had my Lucky Charms in my pocket, or I might not have survived. The truck was a total loss, but this taught me a valuable lesson. No more stupid tricks for me. So you all take care of yourselves because everyone is special. Okay.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Well, cheerio for now.
This has been News of the Stupid. That bit about the roosters reminded me of staying in Hawaii in Kaneohe, where they had, you know, tons and tons of wild roosters just walking around. And they don't just crow in the morning, apparently. They make their little cock-a-doodle-doo all day long.
Hmm. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
So, topics on a piece of paper,
yes,
that become words,
yes,
out of our mouths,
yes,
into your ears.
Yes. Random shit we could maybe talk about. Well, okay. Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Do you ever watch that show?
No. Do I ever watch Blank Show? No. If it's a show, I don't watch it.
Do you know what the point of that show is?
Like turning like a really crappy house into a really awesome house?
Basically, but it's usually what they do is they find someone who's like a woman who's adopted, you know, a kajillion foster kids and also, you know, raises money for the homeless and also, you know, cures cancer in her spare time, but lives in a shithole apartment full of mold and death. And then they show up and they send her and her family on a vacation to, like, Disney World or something for a week. And while they're gone, they demolition the house to the ground and build a completely new house, completely, you know, fit to the specific aspects of that person, what they do, and their kids, and what their kids are into, and they get celebrities involved, and blah, blah, blah. But basically, it's like, that show has this weird ability. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just me because I'm, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and it's so easy to cut to my emotions, you know? But, like, the way that show is set up, it's like the opening thing where they show the video and explain what's up with this person or this family is, like, such a tearjerker. And then, you know, you know, then they get started on the house and everything, and then at the end the family comes back and they do the big reveal of the house, and it's like, you know, again, like such a tearjerker. It's like, I could sit, you know, hang around all day being stupid with my friends, be fine, and then I sit down and watch that, and it's like, you know, it's like, it's just weird, and I'm just curious if...
Because you're a pussy.
Well, yeah. I want to know if anybody else out there in our listening audience watches that show, and if it has that same effect on them, or if they're much more, you know, stone-faced than I am when it comes to, you know, stuff that's, like, emotionally pandering to an audience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are cool, and they deserve it. I'm not mocking those people, but, you know, it's you know, just kind of like...
I can be that way, but I'd have to watch more things to find out, you know. I'm not as much that way now as I used to be when I was younger and more empathetic.
The other thing that's funny about this show is the fact that that show that was the original version called Extreme Makeover, when it was like, you know, giving women like liposuction and all that stuff, like it would be like, you know, hence the extreme part of Extreme Makeover. It's like, that show ended years ago. It's like, nobody
that
liked
that
like show.
Sounds like the most horriblest show ever.
Yeah, it pretty much was. But the version they came up with this, it's like, everyone loves this show. It's a total positive, you know, thing. So it's just funny that the show is still called Extreme Makeover Home Edition, when it just should be called, you know,
Extreme Home Makeover
or something. Yeah, exactly. You know, Extreme Home Makeover would make more sense than Extreme Makeover Home Edition as far as the title goes. So, anyway, want to talk about sports? Sports!
Sports and the Oscars?
Sports!
Oscars?
This is America!
Please tell me we're not going to talk about sports.
Yay!
Can I go in the other room and hang out with Sarah?
No, what I mean by all this is you there's no way you have lived a life, you know, without having any contact with sports. Do you have any...
You'd be surprised.
Well, I don't know. At some point I thought to myself, as back when we, you know, I was coming up with topics involving, you know, dieting, you know, and part of dieting is exercise, and something that's exercise is sports, you know. And I figured that, you know, it's something to talk about. We need content for this dumb show. So
sports are a thing that I don't watch or participate in. There's your content.
Okay.
Fucking run with it.
Well, then maybe it'll surprise you to find out that when I was a very young kid, I wanted to be a baseball player for the Cubs.
Okay.
That probably had more to do with me trying to make my dad happy than me being super into it, but I remember being a young kid and I enjoyed playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the backyard with my brothers and with my friends and stuff. And then as I got older, it's like there were things like, oh, there's the soccer team, and I could, you know, join soccer and play that. And I pretty much sucked at it. I was always trying to get them to make me be the goalie because I thought, because first of all, it's kind of like the odd man out position. It's like, I want the unique position on the team.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I was probably never really that great of a goalie because I was always afraid of getting hurt by being hit by a fast ball being kicked towards me, which, you know, is probably the worst quality you could possibly have in a goalie. But, you know, I did play. I remember once, because Amy was also playing soccer at the same time, and I got a jersey that had a 13 on it, and she was mad at me because 13 was her favorite number, too, because she was born on August 13th. And I just liked 13 because it's 13.
Yeah.
You know? So she was mad at me because I got 13 and she had to get, like, 12 or something. So a little bit later on, as I got older, I actually joined the For Reals Little League because I wanted to, you know... I had an interest in playing baseball, and I thought it was cool, but once again, I was pretty much a completely shitty player. And even worse, because it's baseball, being thrown overhand and fast, I was afraid of being hit by the ball, you know, when it was pitched at me. And so I very rarely got any hits when playing Little League.
My aversion to and lack of experience in sports is so great that... even if Bill and Moonbeam were involved, the idea of laser tag kind of freaks me out because it's competitive and it's like playing sports on some way, shape, or form.
It's less like sports and more like a live-action video game. So
I don't know. It just it kind of makes me feel icky to think about.
Yeah. Apparently, in high school, I was told that the people, you know, the boys in my class behind my back were referring to me as the babe because, like, puberty had caught up with me enough that I had, you know, muscles and stuff, you know, that you could really see them. But, you know, when we'd play softball during gym, every once in a while, I would totally crank a ball, like, super home run, you know, out into the distance. But, you know, since I sucked in so many other ways and I couldn't run as fast as them, they called me the babe, you know.
So, kind of underhanded compliment.
Yeah, just kind of like, you know, he's fat and slow, but, you know, once in a while he can hit a home run. So, that kind of pulled me from being, like, the last kid picked to being, like, somewhere in the 75th percentile, you know. So, it's like, all right, once in a while, you know, he knocks one out of the park.
God,
you know,
he's not completely worthless. I hated it.
When
so
I was
bad.
A kid, I loved dodgeball. Did you like dodgeball?
I hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the culmination of like my worst nightmares, you know.
I never liked football as a thing to play. It was never my bag.
The only things I ever was even okay at was volleyball and badminton. And, of course, square dancing, because it's an art more than a, you know, sport, so.
I don't think I was ever on a basketball team. I don't think.
Do they still make kids square dance in gym class?
I don't know.
If anyone knows, I'm curious.
Yeah, that's you know, I'm curious about that, too.
So should we move on to
I'm trying to think if there's any other sports-related things that I could tie in to things.
I guess, had a brief time in high school where I wanted to play football with the boys for just like I was after singing the being chosen to sing the national anthem at the homecoming game and then participating in some marching band stuff at a couple other football games. You know, I'd never watched football in my life, but like high school football was way more exciting than, like, anything I'd seen on TV, because it's my fucking high school, you know? So it's like, that's my pride, that's my honor, that's my name on the line, you know? And my high school got to, like, second place in the city that year, so it was like, there was a lot of really exciting games with happy endings. And for some reason, for me, being a spectator of anything is never enough. I always want to participate in anything that I'm watching. So, you know, so I had this, like, you know, brief fantasy of where I really wanted to play football. And now I know actually someone who was in choir with me in high school who is a woman who plays football all the time. Like, you know, in, you know, like, leagues and, like, teams and stuff. Obviously, it's not professional, but they apparently have a lot of women football teams in Minnesota, so can we be done talking about sports?
Almost. I thought of a couple parting
this is difficult.
I thought of a couple parting thoughts. One is that I the only sport I actually got a first place trophy in is bowling. Me and my brother JT were both on a bowling league when I was about 89, 90, 91-ish, sometime around there.
Uh-huh.
And we had a team, and I was actually halfway decent at bowling. So that cumulatively, along with my other five members, we managed to come out first place in the league that year. So I actually got a first-place bowling trophy. So
cool.
That is my ultimate sports victory. The other thing I wanted to mention was the football team at my high school, as far as I could tell, pretty much sucked. And this one year, a friend of mine in the drama department, Dan Estes, got to, like, state with his, like, dramatic performance of something or other and, like won at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wrote this, like, letter to the editor at the school. And I submitted an anonymous letter to the school paper, and they printed it, and it was basically me saying, I don't understand why we spend weeks and weeks and weeks making a big deal about the football team, you know, and, you know, all this hype and all this attention, all these assemblies and parades and stuff, and then they lose. Meanwhile, somebody like Dan Estes, you know, takes his dramatic performance all the way to the state and wins. And what does he get? He gets mentioned once over the loudspeaker, you know, during an announcement one day. And, you know, I just think we should give credit where credit is due. And they printed that, and all the freaking Jocko heads, like, I didn't tell anybody I submitted it. All the freaking Jocko heads were like, if I ever find out who did this, I'm going to kick his ass. So then I went to rehearsal for Bye Bye Birdie later that day. I was a freshman. And, like, everyone was like, this is awesome. Who wrote this? And I was just kind of silently sitting there. So finally, I just kind of, like, slowly raised my hand and just, like, went, like, you know, and they were, and then like they all immediately like came over and like, you know, gave me big hugs.
And you were
and
the
stuff,
hero
and
for
yeah,
the day.
Yeah. So
did you ever get your ass kicked?
No,
they kept your secret.
Yeah, they kept their mouths shut because they were like,
it's. I mean, it, Luke, it's always been the jocks versus the artists. Therefore, it's natural that I've no interest in or experience with sports.
Yeah.
And can we never talk about sports again? He wanted to talk about sports as a topic, Sarah. I think this is, must be the end of the podcast.
I think you're out of stuff.
All right. Well, let's move on to a song of some kind, and then we'll have pluggery.
And hairier on my neck, back, and derriere. Ho, but not atop the paint, dear DNA. Let's negotiate. I'll trade the fading vision. You can have that back. Plus, the 30-year-old man belly is kind of whack. My hearing is nearing deafness, and I wheeze. Yo, please save me from the wrist hurt disease. It's infeasible that these are full list of ailments. Should do anything but accrue. I'ma fail 10 times out of 10. To age in reverse like more. Is there anything sadder than a dork? For whom the new hotness is not just inaccessible, it's grumbled against. You kids, reduce your decibels. Don't make me come over there and shake my cane. Is that rapper from the double ARB and he insane? This old man, he rhymed once. He put up some valiant fronts with a wick-whack bitter lack of youthfulness and charm. This old man kept driving on. Joints creaking while I squeak around the stage. Hologram of this telling me I ought to act my age deranged. Already I don't got no brain medicine. If we were running out of food on a boat, I'd get jettisoned or eaten. I'm unsweetened. Don't tell me that I got the shortest straw. I'm not a cretin, just a little senile and gassy and slow. But I bet I'm very salty and I can still row. Let's gobble on that infant. Infants are useless. Also very soft, which is good because I'm toothless. Come on, kids. You want to get rescued or what? Don't mumble all amongst yourselves. Speak up. I lost my ear horn the other day on the bus. You would think by the way you whippersnappers make a fuss that I said something crazy, profound, or obscene. Wait, where'd the ocean go? Where have you taken me?
This old man, he ran twice. He found this would not suffice. With a whip-whack bitter lack of youthfulness on them, this old man was dour and grim.
Shopping for the top of the hill. Should've bought a burial plot soon as I got ill. But I foolishly thought that I could put it off. Now I'm ghoulishly fraught with the soft in the head, hard in the disposition. How'd I earn this intractable attrition of the vigor that I figured would be mine for life? Is there no upside? Well, the rhymes arrive every year I'm alive. Add to my vocabulary, gonna do it till I'm staring at the ceiling in the mortuary. Plus, I'm probably wise by now and could do all the things old people talk about, like count pills, argue bills at diners, get a little tiny funky car and be a Shriner, go to the haberdasher so I can look dapper, get stroke and forget I'm too old to be a rapper.
This old man, he rhymed thrice, he spoke a thin rule of lies, with a wick-whack bitter lack of youthfulness and smug. This old man's rhymes was fun. This old man, he rhymed lots, rhymed till he grew liver spots, with a wick-whack bitter lack of youthfulness and cheer.
What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Touchdown!
Right at the fump, right at this moment, you can download for free Serenity by the great Luke Ski, Dress This Way by Morning Sidekick, Fake It Better Granito by Tom Smith, Calling Dr. Phil Steve Goody. Well, I really like that one, even though I've never watched Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
I still like it. There's a llama inside my fridge, TV's Kyle. Ba-bomb, Insane Ian. Sneaking snacks into the cinema, Flat 29, Luke Ski and Carrie D for one more week. And Vampire Penguins, 2011 Repanged by Worm Quartet.
I would like at this point to tell Insane Ian to, you know, back away from the keyboard and I will correct her because, yeah, because Ian has been on my ass about this. This technically is pronounced ba-bomb.
That isn't what I said.
Did you say ba-bomb or ba-boom?
Ba-bomb.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Like, I guess my brain got confused, but when I grew up, I never heard it said. I just saw it read, and I thought it was like Bob, Oomb. And, you know, so that's why when I do the Mario Kart song, I say ba-boom, and like, you know, Ian was like, but that's not right. That's not right. And it's like, well, you know, in Scott Pilgrim, they said ba-bomb. Therefore, it's right. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
I thought it was ba-bomb because of Scott Pilgrim. I actually didn't know until I watched his video that it was a Mario reference.
Yes.
You.
Me too.
Anyway.
Sarah says her too.
So, Bob Oomb or ba-bomb. Oh, we're looking at a cake wreck.
My graduation, God bless you.
That is scary.
Oh, the irony.
Cakewrecks.com. So anyway, yeah, Lukeski.com store. There's things you can buy there, but you won't. Artfriedlukeski.com. Hire me for parties. You won't do that either. The Dr. Domino Show. You can listen and you can request Snoopy the Dog, which, as of this past weekend, is the second most requested song of the year.
So apparently you did.
Yes, so thank you very much, and please continue to do so at drdemento.com.
And request Sneakin' Snacks in the Cinema by Flat 29.
You know what the number one most requested song of the year thus far is?
Is it still...
You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot by Flat 29. I created a monster that I now have to defeat. Why do I do that? Why?
You created
it? Why am I so supportive? Yes, I get all the credit.
How did you create the monster that is Flat 29 exactly?
In his own little head, he believes that he's the source of everyone being discovered. Except him.
I'm the one who discovered Flat 29.
Isn't this an awesome thing to live with?
Yeah, I know. I have to take back credit all the time when he's like blah 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 and I had this great idea and I'm like and I'm like, well, actually that was my idea. Yeah, I think he does it more with women too than with
well, actually I do it more when recording the podcast so that, you know, we can have comedic outrage.
Oh yes, I'm sure that's what it is.
I'm not a big gigantic douchebag who believes that he is the center of the universe and that everyone must, you know... Anyway.
Your sister said you were sexist a few years back.
She did?
Yeah. Hopefully you're less sexist than you were then.
What made her say that?
Because you're sexist.
Amy said that?
Yeah.
Was it a specific thing?
I was right there. She said Michael is her only non-sexist brother.
I wish I had transcripts of these conversations. So
look,
I could...
you made a fishbone on the screen.
Yes. And we can hang it from Cat's ear.
We know we're getting tired when we start making pretty shapes out of the waves on the screen. From our
Wouldn't that be an entertaining podcast to listen to? People just challenge us to make artistic shapes with the waveforms. And then it's like... I'm going to do a whale. That's close enough.
It does kind of look like a whale.
Tour dates. I'm just going to read off my tour dates for the rest of the year that I have booked.
Rattle them off.
Conquest 42 in Kansas City, Missouri, May 27th to 29th. That's conquestkc.org. DuckCon 20 at Schaumburg, Illinois, June 17th through 19th, DuckCon.org. Nerdapalooza 2011, that's in Orlando, Florida, July 15th through 17th, nerdapalooza.org. Gen Con Indy 2011, that's where my new album will be coming out. That's in Indianapolis, Indiana, August 4th through 7th, GenCon.com. And by the way, if you're attending Gen Con and you plan to see my Saturday night concert, you need to go buy a generic ticket for it for $2 and like register for it and stuff at the website. It's not my choice. It's the way the con does it so that they can make some money off of me, I guess, and justify paying for, you know, my hotel room or whatever the hell. So, yeah, just... If you want to guarantee yourself a seat at my Saturday night 9 p.m. concert,
do that thing,
and or just go see me at the Masquerade, or just go see me at the table in Entertainer's Alley, and you can buy my new album there, and you can look at a copy of Luke and Carrie's Bad Before Best of 2010, and then not buy it. Archon 35, Collinsville, Illinois, back where it should be, September 30th through October 2nd. They are archonstl.org/35.
Wait, where was it last year?
It was in another place that was dumb.
Oh. And now is it back at the same location?
Yes, now it's back to where it should be.
Cool.
ContraFlow 2011, that's in Gretna, Louisiana, which is basically New Orleans.
Wow.
November 4th through 6th, ContraFlowSciFi.org.
And Sarah's going with you?
Yes.
I'm going with him. I don't know how much I'll see him.
I basically gave up my per diem so that she could come along.
Yeah.
At which point, oh, we're here, and where'd you go? And then she's off eating.
Because if he would have gone without me?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick a beignet in your ass. Anyway. Hey, Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
Oh, I'm wearing bluish pink.
Yay!
Because I have a new shirt from Hot Topic. Describe it for me, because you can see it better than
I can.
It
says, Stop the Madness, and it's a peace sign made out of a slingshot with angry birds on one side and green pigs on the other. So you're wearing a blue shirt.
Yes.
For the first time ever.
No. But so, I had to take off on Bill's answer to the what shade of pink are you wearing. It is bluish pink.
So I don't have any caricature stories for this week. You said you had a story about a coworker.
Yeah, it's not an ignorant story. I just thought it was funny. Earlier today, since another coworker just had her baby today, a different coworker came up to me and was like, "You're next." And, you know, I gave her kind of my canned reply lately, which is like, well, you know, trying is not the same thing as it actually happening. And she said, scream louder.
Because that always works.
Yeah, so...
I read that in the medical books.
So...
I guess what, that startles your man into prematurely ejaculating?
It startles him into having a higher sperm count, I guess. All right, comments. Go at the end of the show.
Wackety
schmackety.
You go first.
Arkle says, Carrie, I'd be more than happy to be a Luke stand-in for a skeeless bad rapport. I've been doing this family-friendly podcast, Gilmore Girls Rewatch Podcast, ding, for 6 months now, and I miss being able to cuss on the mic, winky face. Well, I appreciate the offer, Arkle, but if that happens, I'd probably choose one of my many, you know, Chicagoland dementia in-person friends to record an in-person podcast with me. But thanks for the offer, and I'll keep that in mind. Luke, Arkle says, Luke, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was starting to feel like the only guy in the podcasting community who didn't care for Farscape. Okay.
Yep. Captain Nova says, Luke, I wish you the best in your plan to lose weight. Shoebox, I think he means Shoebox's weight loss was amazing, and I thought about trying it as well. Weight Watchers might be better because of the group support environment might be better. See you, Luke, at PenguinCon, and tell me if you need help at the con. Well...
Apparently you did fine.
Yes.
Madman on the Loose says, Robotron 2084 was one of the specific games I wanted to play at Galloping Ghost Arcade when we were there. However, it, along with Defender and about a quarter of their games, were out of order. Boy, you should have seen Eugene Jarvis and how well he can play Robotron. Anyways, the co-owner explained that they are constantly working on repairing and refurbishing their large number of games that are up to and more than 30 years old. I know that the next time I am in the Brookfield area, same town as the zoo, I will go back. 9415 West Ogden Avenue, US 34, Brookfield, Illinois. As someone who has lost 30 pounds since January and hope to lose much more, I hope you are able to be successful yourself. Please realize that it took you years to get from your ideal weight to where you are now, and that it will take months to get it back. Possibly years. As far as how, since I did it through Weight Watchers while other attempts failed about 15 to 20 pounds, stating that Weight Watchers was the reason is logical. However, remembering about how past attempts failed and how to avoid repeating them definitely contributed to my current situation. Love the chibi of Carrie and Willow. I need to eat a food. Can you read the rest of the comments?
Sure.
Having a blood sugar of lowness.
Okay, Squirrel Girl says, I think instead of video games lately, I've been working on jigsaw puzzles. Does anyone still do those anymore?
I don't, because I have a cat.
Yes. There's currently a 1,000-piece London scene half-finished on my card table, and two more puzzles waiting to be put together when that one's done. Yay, impulse items at Costco. It seems to me that the core of any good diet is to pay attention to what you're eating and don't eat more calories than you need. Everything else is just details and strategies, but I've never been actively trying to lose weight, so what do I know? Thank you, Squirrel Girl. And finally, Arkel comes back with another comment. With regards to losing weight, I've been going vegan and taking Krav Maga. I don't know what that is. Perhaps that's a new Transformer in the next Michael Bay film.
I don't know either.
I'm not fully there yet. Have yet to give up poultry, fish, and dairy, but I've been red meat free for months now, and that alone has led to quite an improvement in how I feel day to day. And the tightest pair of pants I had, well, they're still too tight, but I can zip them now. Maybe they'll get even looser now that I've started phasing out pork. Thank you, Arkel. And now we have a voice comment from guess who?
Draconis!
Yay!
Hey!
Hey, Luke and Carrie. It's Draconis. Couple of things. First of all, Luke, I'm sorry about hearing about your cat. He's probably chasing mice or whatever. He did as his favorite now. Also, Luke, is it me or is it almost every female you know wants to beat the living crap out of you one way or another?
It's fun!
Your wife seems to like to beat up on you. The damsels of Dorkington seem to want to beat up on you. Carrie loves smacking you around. Is it every female or just the ones closest to you that do that? Have a great show as always. Later.
He's an easy target. Actually, yeah. It's for me, it's not so much Luke. It's like every male.
Yes.
That I'm acquainted with gets a chance to be beaten.
See, Luke really isn't that much fun to beat on. I don't really do that. I used to have a guy at work that was my punching bag, and unfortunately he quit, so I haven't had that release. And
yeah.
I miss him.
Luke's not fun to beat on because he's such a pussy.
I didn't say it.
This is the it's okay. It's the second time in this podcast I've called him a pussy.
I may be a pussy, but at least I'm not dainty.
Yeah, I never hit him like that.
Like a wicker basket on Easter Sunday.
Shut up.
Full of daffodils.
Shut up.
That's you.
You wish.
I'm shutting up. I don't want to get hit.
I don't hit women. Unless they want me to.
I remember me and Amy got into a fight during her high school years, and she came up to me and she started just pounding the hell out of my shoulder with her hand, and and my shoulder was fine, and the next day she had a big bruise on her hand. I'm like,
I can say my hand is hurt after hitting people sometimes, but I never had a bruise on my hand.
So, anyway, if you would like to make...
Wait, I had a comment, too.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
No.
Oh, wait, that. I'm sorry.
I wrote a comment while I was at work. And since I'm at work and I'm not allowed to use my internet at work to go to badreport.com, but I also didn't want to thumb type a long comment on my Android, I decided to type it as an email from my work email and sent it out to the Bad Report. Okay. This was on Friday, April 22nd. This is just way easier than trying to type up all my thoughts on my Android phone. This time I actually noticed it when you said, I don't even know what real artists charge. Luke, you are a real artist, and I will beat you violently the next time you say you aren't. I didn't hire a fake and or crappy artist to draw the Lawrence Avenue comic that made my husband shed a tear of joy on Valentine's Day. You don't make a living working in a cubicle like some of us. Plus, I've seen some amazing stuff you made in art school, very different from your cartooning style. So, dude, yeah, I'm not going to take any of that bullhooky anymore. Insert beating here. Okay. And now it's my turn to be self-deprecating for a moment. If we add a rule to the LCBR drinking game that you drink a shot every time Carrie says, like, or you know, we'd be charged with murder for causing alcohol poisoning. Dude, I need, like, a 12-step program or something to get me to speak in a non-cringeworthy way. I did it again, damn it. I love the fact that our image for episode 39 appeared on my iPod, smiley face. I just wish we had figured out how to do that a long time ago. And, blah-zity-blah, comment that I've decided not to read. I'm all thought-bursty today. I even had something else to say, and now I can't remember what. Bill Putt, Bill Putt, Bill Putt, Bill Putt. So, that was me a week and a half ago commenting on me and Luke.
Yes. I've been working on a book of bodies and backgrounds for the caricature stand, and I'm on page 6. So by the time I'm done, I'll have a book full of 200 different types of bodies that they can get for the body and backgrounds, so that people who have no creativity in them can have options.
So you get this though. You're not allowed to act like you're not a real artist anymore. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you made 75% of your living at art, right? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I've said that before.
Okay.
So. So.
Anyways.
Cool. Comments. If you would like to make a comment. Oh, I forgot to check for iTunes reviews.
Thank you for the iTunes reviews that you left. You guys rock.
So if you would like to make a comment, you can do so at badreport.com, BADREPPORT.com. You can leave us a message just like Draconis did by dialing 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. And please leave us an iTunes review if you haven't already. Tell us what you think and hopefully give us a 5-star review. That would be nifty. Yeah, I guess that's about it. We're going to play a song here for the outro that, because Carrie said to me before the show started, has anybody done a song yet about Angry Birds? And I said, yes, The Key of Awesome has. And then we went to watch it, and Carrie deemed it awesome to play on the show.
It has a nifty video, and Luke didn't even know at the time that I was wearing an Angry Birds shirt under my pink hoodie, so...
Yes. And, birds are awesome when they're angry. So, thank you for tuning into this this fortnight's episode of Luke and Carrie's Bad Report.
I have been Carrie.
I have been Luke. And go to flat29.com to see their 2-hour coverage of the royal wedding.
Did you watch that?
On Ustream.
Oh, something else happened in the news that wasn't American?
America! Bye-bye.
Can't seem to move my bum from here to over there. Water glasses are strewn about the room. Got to make a plan to do the dishes soon. This cocaine in
listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
We're gonna explode? I don't want to explode.
Jing.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.